Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on the words of Isaiah the prophet, which you heard earlier. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and darkness. In Jesus' name, you are redeemed because of his great love for fallen mankind. Our gracious God and Father begin to speak first to Adam and Eve of picture of how he would redeem the world. He promised that he would send one born of woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And throughout the Old Testament period, time and time again, we see this same gracious God revealing the work and purpose of his Son through prophets and through his word. Suddenly, Jesus comes to earth. He is not immediately recognized, even though angels proclaim him to be the Savior of the world. His credentials are being established among the people of his day, who are looking to these promises God has made in the Old Testament to see whether or not this Jesus is the one. People debate every time they are confronted with Jesus. Who is this man? Is he the promised one, or is he not? Could he be the Messiah, or is he merely an imitation like so many before? Sometimes the people don't debate among themselves, they debate with him. The Pharisees have tangled with Jesus on more than one occasion, usually saying something like this: "We have a rule that we should wash up before we eat, but you won't allow your disciples to eat without washing. How can that be godly? You can't be the Savior, therefore, because you don't keep the rules, our rules." Jesus responds to them and says, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy to you, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." The Pharisees are not all that unlike you and me. The Pharisees want the Savior to fit their concepts and understandings and teachings, not God's revealed truth. Truth be told, you and I are on that same page more often than we desire to admit. But as the Savior Jesus hasn't come to fulfill the man-made in requirements. He's come to fulfill the will of his Father expressed in the prophecies of God. And this morning you heard one of those prophecies again. It is important that you recognize that these prophecies come out of God's love and for your good, even as they did for the people of Jesus' day. Century before his birth, several centuries, more precise, the Lord had promised through Isaiah that one of the things the Savior would do would be to heal the sick. Among those healings, the Savior would make the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the eyes of the blind to see, and the mute would sing their praise. These were signs like road signs placed there for the people humanity. Why would we do that in the opening hymn? Well, the reason is simple. Because we are constantly in a state of the Lord's coming. Like the Old Testament people waited eagerly for his first coming in the flesh. You and I eagerly await his final coming in the flesh, even as he comes among us with his word and his sacraments this very day. This man, the Lord heals immediately in both his hearing and speech, and he speaks this wonderful miracle. The Lord has opened his lips, and now the mouth of this man shows forth God's praise. And even when Jesus bids him stop, the man keeps on praising him anyway to anyone who will listen. Just like you do with your neighbor. You tell them constantly of the great relationship your Lord has with you. Such you were called to do. And in failure to do so, we must all repent. The crowd, too, is astonished. And they declare, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And they marvel at this miracle of healing. There's something going on here much greater than this mere miracle that is beheld by the eye. That one man's healing. Isaiah prophesied that this man would make the deaf hear and the mute speak. By healing this man, Jesus fulfills this prophecy of Isaiah. He establishes this credential that he is the Savior sent from God. The Savior has come to save both body and soul, and that is why he heals the sick, and proving his authority over physical sickness and death. But he doesn't stop there. He destroys the root cause for sickness and are merely the consequences of sin. Therefore, the Savior keeps on his journey to the cross. That's where he will die for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. Today, the Lord has gathered you to this place so that he might dispense his gifts to you. Gifts that lead to the final advent, eternal life with him forever. And here, by and through word and sacraments, the Lord brings you into his presence so that he might give you eternal life and physical healing. Be careful, though. Sinful nature is not keen on letting Jesus be Jesus. Like the Pharisees of the New Testament, there is the desire to make the Savior fit our concepts, our understanding, our rules, not his word. Inside and outside of Christianity, there is an ongoing movement to remodel this Jesus into an open-minded Savior who doesn't really care about your sins. The world applauds such notion. Jesus, he's just one God among all the rest. Can't be all that bad. But it condemns the notion that he is the only God, the only Savior, the one who has redeemed all mankind. For you and me as well, we might feel that it's a great thing when he does what we want. Not so great when he calls you to repentance and faith. It's the way of the world. Astonishing in its arrogance. The Savior comes to heal and save the world, and yet the world responds, we've got a better idea of who Jesus should be. Take heed and be very careful that you do not fall into this world's pattern. Dear friends, you can't be in this picture. Excuse me, according to the rules of men, you may call what you end up with Jesus. But if that Jesus is different from the one revealed to you in the Word, it's a different Savior who cannot save you. In vain they worship me, Jesus says, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Therefore, you must cling firmly to this Savior, this Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, who became flesh to redeem the world by his life, death, and resurrection. Throughout the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy, Christ has carried your afflictions, your suffering, your sorrow to the